we'll see what the Lord has for us. This is verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup, the new covenant, in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge his body rightly." Well, according to this passage, there are three things that I want to talk to us about before we take communion. The first thing, we need to look back. Verse 24, we are to participate in communion in remembrance of Christ. Verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And while we must be respectful and appreciate what communion symbolizes, it also speaks of intimacy and fellowship. You know, a passage, 1 John 1:1, talks about that fellowship, that intimacy that John had with Jesus. And John, in this passage in 1 John, he's talking to the church, and he's telling the church, he says, "The things that I have heard, the things that I have heard Jesus say, the things I have seen with my eyes, the things that I have looked at, and the things that I have touched with my hands concerning the word of life." And think about that for just a minute. Think about what John saw. Think about what John heard. Think about what John touched with his hands. He was there when the water was turned into wine, and I'm sure he'd had a sip. He was there at the pool of Bethesda when the man was there for 30-something years and he was raised. He was there when the man was born blind in John chapter 9. He was there when Lazarus was healed and came out of the tomb. He probably hugged Lazarus. He saw Lazarus. He saw all of these things. There was intimacy. There was fellowship. There was all these things going on. And when we look at communion, the first thing that we need to do to have that intimacy and to have that fellowship is we need to look back. We need to look back to the cross, what Jesus has done for us. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Colossians 1:13, and I always quote it, and you probably can quote it because I've quoted it so much. It says that he, Jesus, rescued Richard Wooton from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the evil one, and he has transferred me into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what the cross does. And you and I, as we come to the communion table today, we need to look back at who you were before you were a believer. And for me, it's been 30-something years. And you know, and I forget. I wasn't that bad. And I'm lying, because I was. I forget just how bad I was. I remember the things I used to do, and it scares me sometimes. I really did this, Lord? You need to remember back to who you were before you were a believer. That's what God has saved you from. You were in the kingdom of darkness. He has transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Awesome thought when you think it. Romans 5:10 says that you are an enemy. You are an enemy of God. And it just as plain and simple as, and you know, and the thing about it is you can be thankful today. I can be thankful today. And as we come to the communion table today, I can be thankful that God has called me. that God has set me aside for His purpose, and I can rejoice because of it. You need to look back. Well, the second thing is you need to look ahead. Scripture says, do this until He comes again. Verse 26 says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. The first time Jesus came to the earth, He came as a suffering servant. The world missed it. They were expecting a political ruler to overthrow the rule of Rome. They missed it. Well, Jesus is coming back, but He ain't coming back as a baby. He ain't coming back as a servant. Let me read this. This is Revelation 19. This is how He's going to come back. And the question you got to ask yourself this morning, are you ready? Revelation 19:11, it says, "For I saw the heavens open up, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." He's coming back. Are you ready? You know, the really neat thing when you come to the communion table, you can remember yourself that as neat as Iowa is, and as all the pretty of the Rockies, and you go, as awesome as this world is today, it's a fallen world. It is a fallen world, and this is not our home. If you're here today and you're a believer, you're in Christ, this is not your home. Heaven is your home. And so when you come to the communion table, you can remember what Christ has saved you from. And you can look ahead to where you're headed as you celebrate communion. Well, the third thing communion says for us to do is to look within. Verse 28 says, "But a man must examine himself." And once we acknowledge these areas of our life, let me read that passage for us, verse 28. It says, "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup and drink of the cup." And once you examine yourselves and the Holy Spirit puts His finger on that area of your life that is not glorifying His name, it gives you opportunity, gives me opportunity to repent, to turn around. And to repent means basically to turn away from, turn this way and go. Not just to say, "I'm sorry." Most people, "I'm sorry." Usually, "I'm sorry I got caught." That's not what he's saying. To repent means to turn and forsake. Say, "No, Lord, I will not do this again." And you turn and you follow Him. And like I said, most of the time, and I'm guilty of this, when I repent, I should just say, "Lord, I'm sorry I got caught." That's not what he's saying. You need to examine yourself. "He who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." Let me tell you what the King James says. This is how the King James says it. "To fail to do so and then to partake, to fail to realize your sin and to fail to repent and then to take communion." And this is how the King James put it. "Is to eat and drink damnation on yourself." A little harsher. Not just judgment, it's damnation. It's serious. It's a celebration because of what Christ has done for us. It's a celebration because heaven is my home. It's a time to celebrate because what Christ has done for me today. And because I can ask, I can get rid of the guilt. Remember the bag that Christian carried around in Pilgrim's Progress? Finally, he was able to release that and give it to the Lord. So, to come to the communion table, it's a time of joy, time of reverence, time to be honest. If there's sin in your life, right now is the time to deal with it. You know, it's the symbols of the body and the blood of Christ. And I want to stop here. I want to tell a story. Told this in the first service, but I remember sitting over there where about Alan is sitting. There was a young lady. She was here doing a PhD program in chemistry. She was from Asia. I believe it was China, if I remember correctly. And she was not a believer. And every time we had communion, she would not take communion because she understood the idea that it was for believers. It wasn't for non-believers. She understood that, and she didn't have a problem with that. Well, one summer she went away to another university and she was studying. And at the end of that summer, she came back and we were having communion that day. And I saw her get up and I thought, oh, what do I do? Tactfully not give her the bread or knock it out of her hands? I mean, I said in first service, do I tackle her? And as all these thoughts were going on in my mind, you know, what do I do, Lord? How do I handle this? She walks up to me, and she basically says, this is my first communion as a believer. And it was an amen. Communion is a time for you. If you're here today and you're not a believer, this is an awesome time. The symbols of the covenant are right here. The blood and the cup and the bread, the symbols of the covenant, new life. And if you're here and you're not a believer, you come forward today. Pastor Chris is going to be over here. I'm going to be over here. And you want to profess Christ. All you got to do is say, this is my first communion as a believer. Profess Christ today. Maybe you're here as a believer. And you don't want to drink damnation on yourself. You know, there's a time right now that you can ask God's forgiveness. Maybe that's what you need to tell one of us. Lord, please forgive me. You know, in the South, I'm from the South, if you can't tell. Usually the pastor would preach a sermon, a gospel message, and he would say, if this is speaking to you, you need to come down here and make a profession. That's what you're doing. You're coming down here. You're celebrating the past, what God has done for you. You're celebrating the future, but you're also celebrating right now. And right now is the time that you and I can get right with the Lord. Whether you are a believer in not in good standing with the Lord, or you're just not a believer, right now is the time. And I encourage you, just like this young lady, come down and say, this is my first communion as a believer. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the work that you did in the Poland team. And God, I know that you work in more than you work through. And I just pray that you would continue that work in these young men and women. Lord, we pray for the next team that's going out, just that you, God, would put that team together, that you would orchestrate it, that you would call those that are to be on this team. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the communion table. Thank you for the new covenant, that you take away my heart of stone, that you give me a heart of flesh, and that you write your laws on my heart. Thank you, God, for that new communion, that new covenant. Lord, we bless you, and we pray that this day that you would be honored. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at